Good evening. I'm glad that we could be together on this Sunday evening. It's good those that were traveling away from us has made it back to us safely. And as I stated this morning at the end of service and has posted that, the lesson for tonight is entitled The Bucket List. Now, most of us have seen this movie, and in 2007 is when it was released. The Bucket List is a film that follows two terminally ill men who set out on a road trip to do various things before they, well, some use the word kick the bucket, as we have heard before. But on the way, they go race car driving, skydiving, climbing the pyramids, and experience an African safari. And having watched the film and thought of having a list of things to do before one dies is an intriguing idea. It really is. And you know, we have on our list of certain things that we want to do. I know Kenzie and I, she's way ahead of me on the list as far as places we're going to go and things to do. I mean, I'll be able to check the airplane ride off here in a little bit once we fly off to Florida at the end of the week. So, that'll be one of those things. But, things that we think about on our list, you know, we all have them in places that we want to see. But as I read the Bible, I find that God is one that's into lists. Haven't you found that? And I'm going to take this as, once again, the first thing is God's list. We have many lists throughout the Bible that detail a genealogy of someone in the Old Testament, or Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. We find, as we talked about this morning a little bit in Hebrews chapter 11, in the Hall of Faith, the list of the faithful in their life. Moral qualities that we even talked about this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1 about add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, kindness, brotherly kindness, love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or sins, Romans chapter 1 or 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And various lists of all the great things that God has done for His people in Psalms 106 and that of Psalm 135. Just to mention, though, a few things there from the psalmist. Notice the list there of what God has done. Notice Psalm 106. A very lengthy chapter of 48 verses. We won't read all of them, but I want to show in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Now, I want you to think about throughout that chapter of what he is attributing to God. Once again, a list, if you will, of what he has done for them. And even that of Psalm 135. Flip over there, just a few verses, or 21 verses. He starts off with, praise ye the Lord. In verse 1, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the in the house of the God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob and himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth and in seas and all deep places. He caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasures. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast? Who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants? Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings? Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for inheritance and heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. And that list could go on and on. And I would once again think that God is into list throughout the entire Bible. Before we put on our list, though, that, of course, as we go back to the scriptures and the list that we have for us, we would like to visit or things that we might want to experience in this life, it would be wise, as we're going to talk about this evening, to take a look at a list that the Creator put together. Would my list match up with His? Once again, we talked about this morning from what Jesus stated. Matthew 16, it's even also in Mark that we know so well. He says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? And so as we realize that when we come to the end of life, in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it says that it's appointed to man what? Once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I always think about that verse, and it brings to thought this young preacher that was going to stand up, and he was going to preach a lesson to the congregation. And as he stood up there, he had a lot more people than what he anticipated, and he locked his knees. You know, in band they say don't lock your knees, and he got to that verse, and I think that's like the best example I've ever seen or ever heard of Hebrews 9 and verse 27, because when he got to the point, his appointed man wants to die, he fell. He passed out. No, that was not me. But we realize that his appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. That is going to happen to us. It is an appointment that we must meet. Once again, Solomon of old realized the same. We'll give an account of what we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. For example, I want us to compare God's list with the bucket list. And we'll go to this verse of Galatians chapter 5. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, and notice there in verses 22 through 24. Familiar verses to us, I'm sure. But in verse 22 down through verse 24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Notice verse 25 as well. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, in verse 26, provoking one another, envying one another. So he lists here that of the fruit of the Spirit versus that of beginning the list there of that of the works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21. Once again, that is the opposite, obviously. But he says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says against such there is no law. The qualities that I am to grow in my heart are those right there. Because once again, we go back to the soul about molding us. Heaven is a prepared place for what? A prepared people. The bucket list, as you watch that movie, this is the list. Witness something truly majestic. Help a complete stranger for common good. Laugh till I cry. Drive a Shelby Mustang. Kiss the most beautiful girl in the world. Go skydiving, see the pyramids, visit Stonehenge, Rome, and such. Get back in touch to hunt the big cat. Once again, that African safari that they went on. And I understand, once again, the physical things that we have in this life that we want to do. But will those physical things in my life get in the way of those qualities that I'm to grow in my heart? Will my focus and perspective be only on those things there? And you might remember that Morgan Freeman played in that movie. He had a really good grasp of what life was about, didn't he? He really did. A lot better than what Jack Nicholson did. And at the end of the movie, Jack Nicholson would come to realize these things. As Hebrews 9 and verse 27, although it is not mentioned there in the movie itself, would become a reality to him. Even more so when his friend passed. That really, the qualities in my heart are to be those. And so we're going to talk about that. Especially when we think about the wisdom of God's list. Instead of giving us a list of cool places to see or things to do, God gives us the essential qualities we need, our characters, so that we can actually enjoy whatever we do, wherever we travel. And I want you to think about that. What kind of list did the Apostle Paul have? It was not drive a Shelby Mustang. Didn't have the slightest clue as to what that was. But you know what? It didn't matter where Paul found himself. It didn't matter where he traveled. Whatever he was doing, it says he was content in whatsoever state he found himself in. That's amazing. Because the mentality that he had was, once again, growing those qualities in his heart of Galatians chapter 5. He had that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because that's exactly what he's telling Galatia to grow in their heart. Essential qualities that God gives us through his word. The vast majority of our experiences and travels are not to famous or exotic places. Rather, most of life is experienced in the ordinary and daily events of living. You know, and that's the one thing we've been talking about with motivation series and that of the life lesson series that we ended last Sunday. Getting caught up. Is Christianity still exciting for me? Is it still exciting to open the Bible and to read from it? Saying, what am I going to find today? What am I going to be able to work on in my life? What am I going to be able to help someone else with? God has given us a list of qualities that will enable us to enjoy not only a safari, but also spending a quiet evening with family, cleaning the house, organizing the garage, making dinner, or preparing a report at work, whatever it might be. God not only tells us what should be in our lives, should be, he also gives us a list of things that we should remove from our lives. As we spoke there of verses 19 through 21 of Galatians chapter 5. If you're still there, let's read that list. There's a list on that. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, he says, there's good news. The fruit of the Spirit. The qualities that we are to keep in our lives. And thus, God's list will perfectly fit everyone. Absolutely everyone. You know, and I look back at Saul of Tarsus, and there's a lot of people that would think that God's list would not fit that man. Just would not fit that man. But he did something that was absolutely amazing. He changed completely. God's list became his list. His list was God's list. Perfectly fitting him. And he put off the old things and put on the new man. And then he went on a journey that the bucket list could not foretell. God gives us many choices concerning where we travel and what we experience. He gives us the essentials. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from where? Father of lights. And so I'm going to talk about some obligations in this life that we have that have to be fulfilled. And this, of course, is our list regarding our life and according to scriptures. As we make our list of things that we want to do and things that we want to see, once again, we also go back to our mind, in our minds of that Hebrews chapter 11. You know, I always wonder, Moses, well, it seems like his plan was getting all messed up by God, wasn't it? I want you to go to Egypt. He wanted to lead those rebellious people. And I do admire Moses because he went through a lot. I sometimes wonder, how did he do it? Those people bickered and complained and went to idolatry so quick it wasn't even funny. He made excuses, there's no doubt about it. He made excuses why that list was not going to fit his life. My God's list is not going to fit me. And this is not going to work. However, God said to go on, to move forward. And yes, my list will be your list. And so he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin even for a season. He was going on a safari, I guess you'd call that, maybe in the wilderness. He kind of went off on some things and got to see a few places. But he had some obligations, responsibilities to be fulfilled in his life, just like we do. So, a list of obligations to be fulfilled. One common mistake when writing a quote-unquote bucket list is that such lists tend to focus on the individual making the list and forget about everyone else. You notice that in the movie? Jack Nicholson was concerned about what? How much he can get done in the short period of time he had left. And who was it going to affect? Mainly, he was thinking only himself. That this is just for me, for my enjoyment. May I suggest that our list needs to include not just ourselves, because that of Philippians chapter 2, that we were talking about this morning, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Each other, he says. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we obviously see where Paul had done just that. He was exhausting himself. He was poured out for others. And as one reads the epistles, it is clear that Paul had definite future goals. One was to visit Rome and preach the gospel in that city. You know what? That's exactly what he was going to do. He knew what his responsibility was, especially to that of the gospel, as being told to be that you are an instrument, you are a vessel in my service. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Romans 1 and verse 15. He was ready to do it. He was ready to do it. Now, I want you to think about that. How he was wanting to preach the gospel. That he was looking out for others. He spoke of them later on in that chapter. As he preached the gospel to them. As he told them of a list there in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. He went out to preach against those things. Paul in verse 14, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. That's what he was out for in Romans 1 and verse 14. Paul said that at the outset of the Romans, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, to wise and to the foolish. It didn't matter what status they were. He did exactly what he was telling those at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So before Paul left this earth, he desired to discharge the obligation or what he felt he owed others. If I was putting together a list of things I wanted to accomplish in this life before I die, the list should naturally include wanting to, quote-unquote, pay back, in a good sense, what I gratefully feel that I owe people, especially those who have really assisted me in significant ways. This lesson applies to all of us, not just those who are older. Getting serious about fulfilling obligations very early in life. You know, the Ecclesiastes writer has some interesting things to say on that. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'll go back to the Old Testament for just a moment and look at these scriptures here that I have. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And notice there in verses 9 and 10. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth... All right, chapter 11. I'm sorry, I was back in 10. Verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Notice verse 1 of chapter 12 even. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Getting serious about it early in life. Something that I was glad my parents instilled within me. To rejoice, but also to walk not in just the ways of what I thought was right, but according to what God said was right. It's essential. Because we are all mortal men and women. All of us have an expiration date of Hebrews 9 and verse 27. His appointed man wants to die and after this the judgment. And a limited amount of time to do it. So as we go through this list of obligations to be fulfilled this evening, we're going to find ourselves somewheres along this list. And then at the end of the lesson, we'll have two questions to ask that will be able to sum it up. Obligations to be fulfilled. Obligations to parents. In Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 1 and 2, it's once at another one I was instilled as a young child. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Obey your parents, what? In the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Obeying them with honor, that is with a respectful and positive attitude, which includes trying to make it easier for them to parent. I hope my kids don't turn out anything like I did when I was growing up. I didn't make it easy on my parents at all. Boy, I didn't. And sometimes my dad always says, I'm going to get paid back. Exactly. It's going to happen. But the scriptures teach it very plain, doesn't it? Even taking care of them in old age. It's very interesting. Taking care of them in old age. Remembering the family stories they taught me and remembering the cost they have paid in becoming and remaining even a faithful Christian. You know, that was one thing, you know, that with some of those stories of the things that I have taught, like I said, in the lessons about life lessons, that comes from childhood and growing up. And knowing what they taught me regarding my obligations to them. The cost they paid. That's many times forgotten. The cost that they paid. And now, once again, I don't mention enough how thankful I am for the cost that they paid. For me, it's still being paid today. For remaining to be a faithful Christian. Being a faithful guardian of the family history, especially the spiritual history. Remaining faithful so that I can bring them joy in their later years. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. 3 John in verse 4. And I think that's part of it when I was growing up, is I didn't want to be one of those like I hear today. You know, so and so. You know where he's from. You know who his daddy and mama is. You know the connections. Oh, the Dickerson family. Now, I'm not saying the Dickersons don't have those that don't do wrong, because there is. But my life is a reflection on whose life? My parents. But what they have instilled with me. And I never wanted my life to reflect bad upon them. And that was something that my brother and I had decided years and years ago when we were growing up. Because of that verse there, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. So not only obligations to parents, but obligations to a spouse. Being a happy husband or wife. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Notice there. Whatsoever my hand findeth to do, do it with might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know, that goes into every aspect of life, obviously. In verse 9 is actually where I need to be. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is the portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Now verse 10 added on, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I want you to think about doing all things with thy might. We've been speaking of about work and effort, not only, once again, in the home, but also as a Christian, that it takes effort. We're not just going, once again, as we stated before, in the Bible class, that just because I'm baptized into Christ to arise and walk in newness of life doesn't mean that all my troubles are going to disappear. It doesn't mean it's all going to be okay. Because we know that's not true. We know that doesn't happen. We have to constantly work. We have to constantly keep our eyes set with our might, with our effort. Wherever we go, wherever our journeys take us, he says, live joyfully. Love all the days which thou hast given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion, he says, in this life. If you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 now, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And notice there in verses 4 and 6, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. In verse 5, now notice verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? It was something we spoke of, we made mention in the Bible class yet again this morning about making vows to God. We make a vow to God, it's being baptized that we're going to become a faithful Christian. When I made a vow to Kenzie, I stuttered through mine. Y'all know that. I did. I stuttered. I couldn't get lawfully out. And I'm a cop. Isn't that weird? She was speeding through there. She was beating Andy to the vows. I thought she was... I was like, well, let him speak them first before you start repeating after him. Andy was actually repeating after her. But being the husband or wife that I promised to be. Being the husband or wife I promised to be. In life, we get tied up with, once again, forgetting what we have vowed. Or we are very late in paying or fulfilling various promises made. We might want to dig our book of wedding memories and pictures and recommit ourselves to loving our spouse in a way that will leave no regret. That will leave no regret. How about remaining a faithful Christian and helping them stay faithful? 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. As I've stated before from my own personal experience here, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Of growing up. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Back in verse 1 is what I was speaking of. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. When I think of 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, that's my mother. That's my mother. And I watched, you know, and as I state many times, I look back and watched things happen that I wish didn't. But at the same time, I was actually able to watch God's Word come true in every form. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 is a verse that I did not take into consideration as a young child. Until I watched my father fall away for years and years. His list was not the list that God had. His was truly the bucket list of Jack Nicholson. But every time we went to services, she'd ask him, "You going? Why don't you come with us?" She didn't nag him, I guess you would say, but also may without a word be won by the conversation, the conduct. Because as you get down to our verse that we have listed there, verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of this life, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another. You know, it takes a lot, as we know, to remain a faithful Christian. It takes a lot. Because as we talked about, the world wears and tears on us every day. Listening carefully when they talk about their hopes and dreams and doing what we can to make some of those dreams come true. We're on a 5-year plan. I won't go into all that. I'm sure I haven't seen the binder yet, but I think there's a binder on it too. Just like there's a binder for Disney World coming up. It is outlined. If y'all want to see that, whew, she has planned out everything. I didn't realize I was getting all the planning issues, but she's got it. You know, we have our own hopes and dreams of what we want to do and what we can to make some of those dreams come true. That's obligations to a spouse. Obligations to siblings. Being a good example to my brothers or sisters. I joke a lot about my brother. But you know what? I want to be a good example for him. Because he needs it. And I'm sure if he listens to this, he'll hear that. But it's very important. Keeping the family close during the years at home, and especially keeping the family close after mom and dad are gone. How important that really is. Especially for those who have experienced that already. Who knows what that's like. Bringing our children up in the discipline of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. So that all the cousins have a common faith. Jude in verse 3. To contend earnestly for it, as it says. And so that family reunions are times of spiritual refreshing and edification. Once again, the physical thing of, you know, all these children that come along in generations. But will they all have something in common? Spiritually. That's some obligations to siblings as well. That was one thing I always wondered that as Daniel and I would grow up and get married and have children, you know, that our children remain faithful in the Lord. As it says, to nourish thy children, to train thy children in the ways in which they should go, so that they will not depart. We need that spiritual refreshing, that edification, every time, all the time. And I wish that, even though I say that, I'm glad he lives further away. Actually, I do wish they were closer so that we could see the children more and do things more. Because I do have obligations to him throughout the rest of my life. What about obligations to myself? This would include overcoming anything in this world, is saving myself. You know, Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, you notice those individuals there that put on the body of Christ. You know, and with many other words, it says, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. How important is that? This would include overcoming chronic, habitual sins. If we have struggled with sin for most of our lives, then we owe it to ourselves to finally overcome that temptation, to put it away. Note that we never, not that we ever think about it, but that we at least stop the outward manifestation thereof. We also need to beat such sins for the benefit of those following us. Once again, we just gave a list. We gave a list there to begin with. When others ask us how to overcome a similar situation, we need to have a practical, useful, and detailed answer. We need to have a strategy that we can hand to the next generation. See, that's many times the ones that's forgotten is the next generation that comes along. The Israelites many times failed in that area. They failed. And oh, I hate for us to repeat such things as that. And this would include accepting the fact that sin never keeps one happy. Ever. Choosing rather to suffer affliction of the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin, even for a season. Temptation is always a lie. It's always deceitful. Genesis chapter 3 talks about it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then if you skip forward to Matthew chapter 4, it says the same thing. Satan was trying to deceive Christ the same way. It's always a lie. I have needs that only God can fulfill. That includes it for sure, doesn't it? Only God can fulfill it. We talked about this morning. God being at the center. Number four, all I have to worry about is overcoming this sin today. Today. Matthew 6 talks a lot about that. He says in verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Number five, there is always a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It's very interesting that you find that God is faithful, isn't it? It's so interesting and so wonderful that Paul says that God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." There's just a lot that's not looking for the exit signs. It's not looking for the exit signs. How we go back to verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." My desires are not too strong, rather, they are too weak. Focusing on the spiritual growth that I still need to achieve and identifying those areas in which I am presently am lacking is something we need to do. That's part of that list there. This list would include not only what I still need to add: diligence, once again, faith, knowledge, virtue, self-control, brotherly love, once again from 2 Peter chapter 1, but also what I need to finally remove that we read from Galatians chapter 5 in the flesh: immorality, impurity, evil passions, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech. Colossians chapter 3 says the same. What am I focused on? Physical things or spiritual growth? The things that I need to achieve. Have I identified those areas in which I am lacking, in which I need help? We have an obligation to ourselves. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and those who hear you." I have to take care of me first, and then the rest of the pieces will fall into place. We are promised. As I bring this lesson to a close, we just have this obligations to the lost that we need to think about too. Make a list of places where you want to evangelize. My friends, that list right there is easy. You walk out the doors, there's places. It's everywhere. It's in the stores. It's everywhere. It's at our jobs. It's everywhere. Think of a fresh approach to reach a friend that needs saving, or an old friend of the family, or an old acquaintance that helped you in years past. I want you to think about that. We have an obligation to the lost. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord," what did Paul say to those at Corinth? "We persuade men." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. Is that something that we have in mind constantly? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, what do we say? "Save thyself and others who do what? Hear you." Obligations to future generations. Take the time to write a list of vital lessons that we need to impart to our children. This includes lessons about what really makes a person happy, the value of service and sacrifice, the evidence for God's existence and the integrity of the biblical text. The reason why people say we have trouble in the homes is because God is not where? What was our Sunday morning sermon? God is not in the center of it. If God's in the center, then it will remain. That's an absolute truth that we have in the Scriptures. You think about writing letters about our life, the lessons that we have learned, the things that we prayed for. That'd be something interesting for our children to see. Our desires for their future, the times that God came through for us. My friends, those lists will only be good. They will only be worthwhile if we have the last one. If we are fulfilling our obligation to God. To sum it up, to be useful to Him. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21, "Therefore if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. All these obligations that we talked about, our list that we have in relationships throughout our entire life, they can become futile and vain if I don't have God in the center of it all. Once again, as we stated this morning at the end of the lesson, God does not revolve around us. We revolve around Him. I want you to think about that. As you get your psalm books ready, we're going to end with those thoughts. I hope as we think back over these lists about what does our list look like? Is our list one that is just self-fulfilling for my own self, or is it thinking of others even? About taking someone with me. There's a lot of times we're taking somebody with us, but where are we taking them? Are we influencing for better or for worse in this life? What are we doing? There's an individual that I had in the bulletin this morning that I'll read here regarding Act 2. The date is June 24th, 1859. Suddenly, there he is, atop a hill overlooking the plain of Solfino, Italy. Napoleon's troops prepare for battle with the Austrians below, and Henri Dunant has a box seat view from his place on the hill. Trumpets blare, muskets crack, and cannons boom. The two armies crash into each other as Henry looks on, transfixed. He sees the dust rising. He hears the screams of the injured. He watches bleeding, maimed men take their last breaths as he stares in horror at the scene below. Henry doesn't mean to be there. He doesn't mean to be there. He is only on a business trip to speak to Napoleon the Third about a financial transaction between the Swiss and the French. But he arrived late and now finds himself in a position to witness firsthand the atrocities of war. What Henry sees from atop that hill pales in comparison with what he is soon to witness. Entering a small town shortly after the fierce encounter, Henry now observes the battle's refugees. Every building is filled with the mangled, the injured, and the dead. Henry, aching with pity, decides to stay in the village 3 more days to comfort the young soldiers. He realizes that his life will never be the same again. Driven by a powerful passion to abolish war, Henri Dunant will eventually lose his successful banking career and all his worldly possessions, only to die as a virtual unknown in an obscure poorhouse. But we remember Henri today because he was the first recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1901. We also remember him because of the movement he founded, the Red Cross. Act 1 of Henri Dunant's life closed June 24, 1859. Act 2 opened immediately and played the remainder of his 81 years. Many people's lives can be divided into Act 1 and Act 2. The first performance ends when one decides to ultimately follow a new direction or passion. Henri Dunant's old life, driven by financial success, prestige, and power, no longer satisfied him. A new Henri Dunant emerged in Act 2, one who was motivated by love, compassion, and an overriding commitment to abolish the horrors of war. For some, Act 2 may begin with a conversion or a turning point. Tonight might be that night where we say Act 2 begins. Others speak of a defining moment. However, it is understood the old self is laid to rest and a new self is born. One governed by principle, spirit, and passion. Are you ready for Act 2? Do we need Act 2? It may be the next scene of our life, of a life that truly counts, because it might be the list, not just our own bucket list, but the list that God wants us to have, His list. Is my list God's list? Is His list my list? Put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man of Colossians 3 verses 9 and 10. Once again, I appreciate your kind attention as we have went over time. I'm making up for the next Sunday that I'm not going to be here, just so you know. But the two questions that I had that I'm going to end with, that was also in the movie, is when we start thinking about it all our obligations that we went through, all of our list that we think about, here's the two questions. And you have to answer for yourselves and only yourselves. Do you have joy in your life? True joy. Not the ones that passes with time, that, you know, feelings and emotions. I mean true joy. The joy that's talked about in Galatians chapter 5. The joy that surpasses all understanding in Philippians. And the second question is your life bringing joy to others? That sums it all up right there. If a man cleanse himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You will have joy if you're doing this. You will bring joy to others if you're doing this. Don't have to go far. We talked about the Apostle Paul in our example this morning. Although he didn't live in the best of circumstances and he was persecuted and would die for what he believed and stood for, guess what? He had obligations to fulfill in his life. Responsibilities. If we're subject in any way, if we need this time, this song of encouragement, won't you come as we stand and sing a song?